Hello, everyone. I would love for someone to let me know that you can hear me okay. So just pop it into the chat real quick if you can hear me, and we will get started. All right, excellent. Thank y'all. So here's how office hours works. I will call on you all as you raise your hand. And I'll bring you online to coach. We'll do a little Q&A at the end if there's anything in there that you guys need answered. So let's go ahead. Oh, and you guys can talk amongst yourselves in the chat. I probably will not be checking that, especially if it gets super busy tonight. So Sharon, you are first.
You see me? I look
kind of rough. Hey.
Yeah. Okay. And that's good. We didn't have to, I didn't have to take off the mute because I was afraid I'd have to do that.
Yeah. See it. Zoom fixed that, I guess, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Well, I was calling because, several different things, but one thing is the weigh-in because I weigh dramatically differently every day. And I know everybody says, oh, that's just water weight or different things like that. But I find it so disconcerting, even though I say it's got to be data. I mean, I weighed yesterday morning. I didn't weigh on Friday because I worked late and ate late. And so I thought Monday would be better and my weight was up. And then I weighed this morning and it was down. And I'm like, it's just causing me too much conflict.
What's causing you conflict?
Being worried about where the scale is going to be.
Yes.
And whether that, being as a measure of me or something.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So good answer. The scale doesn't cause you worry. It's your thoughts that cause you all this consternation, your thoughts about the scale. So here's what you're doing. You're looking to the scale to validate your progress. Right?
Exactly.
When you weigh daily, you're weighing basically, you know, water weight, inflammation, colon weight, you know, whatever. That's why we tell you to weigh weekly. That's why we do our check-ins on a weekly basis rather than on a daily basis, because your body is going to naturally fluctuate in its weight depending on what you've eaten, whether or not you've worked out, how much you've eaten, how little you've eaten, whether or not you've gotten sleep, whether or not you drank your water and all that kind of stuff. It's its natural rhythm to go up and down like that. So what you need to do is look on your assessments to decide whether or not you've done a good job on a day-to-day basis, to look inside and say, you know what? I really nailed today. The scale says I'm up, but I know I hit all the marks today. So maybe on Friday, we'll evaluate what the scale has to say.
Okay.
Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't look at the scale on a daily basis to validate whether or not you're doing a good job. Mm. You're going to know internally whether or not you're doing a good job.
But the thing is, there's always announcements. Oh, so-and-so has lost so much weight and it isn't amazing and they've done so well. And mm-hmm. So that makes me feel like I want to be like them.
Okay. So same thing. Does the scale get to tell you whether or not you're doing a good job and being like them?
Yeah, because the whole thing is weight loss.
No. You tell yourself. You tell yourself. You feel validated by a thought, not by a number. You get validated by a thought about the number. All right, let's say today you weighed 195 and you hit all the marks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know you nailed your two. You didn't grab ass a thing. You got 80 ounces of water in. You slept 8 hours of sleep. You got 8 hours of sleep last night. You did everything completely right, but you got on the scale tomorrow and it said 196.
If I got on the scale and it said 196, I'd be dancing in the street.
You get my point. You're up a pound.
Yeah, okay. I know.
So does that mean that the day where you hit all the marks was a failure?
No.
No, it doesn't. Okay. It just means that the natural rhythm of your body had you up a pound for whatever reason. Maybe you pooped before you got on the scale yesterday and you didn't this morning. Who knows? Could be you know, maybe you ate something that, you know, your body held on to because it was inflammatory to you. Who knows? You can analyze that all day long, but the point is, you know internally whether or not you did a good job, and it's up to you to validate that. It's up to you to create those feelings of pride. And then as your weight goes down, because if you're really nailing your days, your weight is going to go down, but it's going to do this. It's going to go up and down, and up and down, and up and down. It's going to be like a path that does like this, like a ski slope, right? Mm,
right.
It's not going to be a straight line down all the time because that's your body's natural rhythm. It's reacting to hormones and stress and sleep and all kinds of stuff.
Okay. Can I ask another question? It's not related necessarily.
Yes.
So I'm getting ready to work a second job. And so I'm going to be really busier than I've been for a while.
Okay.
And I know y'all have something that you say, like, I don't say I'm busy, but I don't know what you say instead. You know, like, how can I rethink that so that I'm not like feeling victimized by my schedule that I'm choosing because I have some debt I want to pay off. So I'm choosing it. But okay. I know I might get antagonistic towards it also.
So why do you, I mean, why don't you just say, this is what I'm choosing right now to pay my bills?
Ah, okay. Good point.
I mean, use your own thought there.
Yeah, right. Good point.
Busy. The only reason we take exception to busy is because it tends to be like this. I'm so busy. You know, I'm a victim to my busyness. If you're choosing busy because you have this thing that you want to do, this savings you want to make, bills you want to pay off or whatever, then you just tell yourself that. You can still make time. You can still make 2 or 3 minutes to do a plan in the morning and 2 or 3 minutes to assess in the afternoon. You can always do that.
Well, definitely. I like journaling anyway, so it works very well for me to journal on these topics. And then I just want to brag very slightly. Last night, my boyfriend and his son were eating chips and queso that was not on my plan, and I didn't eat any of it while we were watching the game.
And how'd that
feel? Amazing. It was great. I felt, I didn't, because, you know, Corinne always says, and you say too probably, that sit with the discomfort. It wasn't really that discomforting. It was just like, I'm not having that, you know? And it was fine.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about making that decision ahead of time. You know, I'm choosing not to feel discomfort right now because it's not on my plan. It's okay. It's okay that it's not on my plan. It's all the conversation you have in your head. That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. See ya. All right. Who's next? Jeanette.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? I'm good. This is my very first time.
Well, hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I joined in April. And I have always struggled with overeating and binging. Since I was little, like 8 or 9 years old. And I feel like I've made some progress over the last 5 weeks. You know, I've listened to a ton of videos and, you know, I listened to a little bit of the Taking Control module of No BS. And I'm becoming more aware of it, but I'm still not good at the self-talk around it. And I am still doing it almost daily, like 4 to 5 times a week. And like I did it today, and it was the weirdest thing this morning because, you know, I had decided to do spring cleaning today. I've been unemployed since September, so I'm home all day by myself, which is always hard for me because I don't know what to do with myself. So I, had all these plans, and then 8:30 came around and I'm like, you know what? I just want to eat. And I had decided to eat. I had made that decision and I hadn't done my daily plan yet. So I'm like, you know what? This is great. I'll just put it on my plan. It's going to be perfect. And I sat down and I started to put it on my plan. And then I stopped for a second and I'm like, but I don't want to do that? So I decided not to do that. So I got my floors clean. I did everything. And then lunchtime came around and I was so afraid to eat because I was afraid I wouldn't stop. Mm. And then I thought I was hungry. Maybe looking back on it, maybe I wasn't hungry, mm-hmm. but I decided to eat and then I ate everything.
Okay.
And I was so frustrated because I had decided not to do it in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then I did it at lunch. And whenever that happens, I do tend to do it in the middle of the day when I'm by myself. And then I wind up not being hungry for like the rest of the day. And I won't eat dinner. And then I won't eat anything until the next morning. Mm-hmm. So I just, I want to stop that. And I beat myself up over it. And I know I shouldn't. And I'm at a loss now because I haven't lost any weight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll lose 4 pounds and then I'll gain it all back. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I don't know what to do now.
Okay. So I'm taking my earrings out because they keep hitting my
thing. Oh, I hate it when that happens.
I know. So you talked yourself out of a binge this morning. Mm-hmm. And you just totally blew right by the fact that was a super big success, right?
Well, not really, because I posted it in my accountability group. I was so excited.
Yeah. So, okay.
And then I blew it.
Do you expect to join PNP and never binge again?
No, but I would have thought by now I would have stopped.
You're a month in. What if I were to tell you, you have to binge 347 more times in order to learn enough about yourself to stop binging? Would you be okay with that?
I guess I'd have to be. I watch a lot of calls on that, but mm-hmm. That's scary.
Why?
Because you could like gain a ton of weight doing that. And
you've been binging 5 times a week and you have not gained any weight.
No, but I still have 100 to lose.
Okay. So what if for the next month, you're not going to binge 5 times a week, you're going to binge 4. And then the mm-hmm. month after that, you end up binging 3 times a week. And then the month after that, it's still 3 times. Do you see that as improvement?
It is improvement.
Do you see, and there's also opportunities in those months where you have deflected your binge mm-hmm. or talked yourself out of the binge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is what I want you to see. If you continue to hit the shame cycle after your binge and just beat yourself up and look not for the data in the binge, but for, I don't know if I'm ever going to stop this. I have 100 pounds to lose. I'm not losing any weight. And you stay in that cycle, mm-hmm. then you're not doing yourself any good when it comes to figuring out the binges. You're just beating yourself up. And that's where the work stops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So you almost have to continue to binge in order to figure out why you're binging and to figure out how to stop binging.
Why does I don't understand. Like, I have a really hard time with the discomfort thing.
Mm-hmm.
And either that muscle is really, really weak or
All right, here's what you're doing though, okay? This is really interesting to me. So you have discomfort on this side,
mm-hmm.
and you have your binge in the middle, mm-hmm. and then you have beating yourself up on this side. So when you don't sit in discomfort, when you give up the discomfort, you pick up the beating yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sit in discomfort and you avoid the binge, you've done away with the beating yourself up part. It's almost like you get one or the other.
Okay.
So which are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to be a little uncomfortable? Or are you going to choose this cycle of beating yourself up and questioning whether or not you're doing a good job and not losing any weight and I'll never get this and all this that's going on this back end?
They're both discomfort, right?
Well, this is discomfort. This sucks.
It's stuck.
Seriously, discomfort or shame cycle? Which one would you pick?
Yeah.
So here's what I offer you.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of those situations where you're going to have to level up 1% at a time. You've heard Corinne talk about that, right?
Yes.
The next time you have the urge to binge,
mm-hmm.
sit for 10 minutes. Set a timer. Seriously, on your phone, one of those little dial timers like was on your grandma's stove. I don't care what you do. Set a timer for 10 minutes and tell yourself, in 10 minutes, I get to decide whether or not I'm going to eat.
Okay. But what if I eat then?
Well, but then it's a conscious decision.
Okay.
It's not a reactionary decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Then after you've eaten, instead of going to the shame cycle, you sit down, you write down everything you thought about in those 10 minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And start going back through and looking at what you're telling yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the most important information that you can get, is what's happening in your mind that leads up to that bitch. Because that's how you start figuring out what the conversation should be in order to bypass the binge or to sit with the discomfort a little bit longer. I had a really smart friend tell me once, and she struggled with binge eating, that an urge will pass whether you feed it or not. Now, it might take a minute, but all an urge is a suggestion to eat. You get to decide whether you're going to sit with it or whether you're going to feed it and then deal with the shame cycle at the end. You know what I mean when I talk about shame cycle?
I do. It's hard for me to remember the shame part of it when I'm in the middle of the urge.
Well, maybe you, do you always binge in the same place? Is it always in your kitchen? Is it always in front of the pantry?
No, it's always in front of the TV.
Okay.
Or it's in my car.
Okay, so stick a post-it note on your TV, like this. Just like a little post-it note with some stuff on it. It says, remember the shame cycle. In your car, remember the shame cycle.
I need to write that down because I know I'm going to rewatch this, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because when the urge happens, I'm so encompassed in how uncomfortable and like almost panicky and insistent, and the food's in the back of my head, like screaming at me, like, you need this. And
right.
And it's almost like I can't think. It's ridiculous, but it's, I always call it pulling myself out of my head. I need to get out of my head.
So how did you do it this morning?
It was weird. It was the act of actually writing it down and going to put it on my plan, because felt like I was bastardizing the whole system. I'm like, that doesn't work. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do.
So that's good data to have, right? Mm-hmm. So what if you were to do that? Okay, I'm gonna binge in 10 minutes, and here's everything I'm gonna eat.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were to do that in your 10 minute time period, and then decide whether or not you were gonna eat? It's not gonna be foolproof,
right?
But it is gonna help you pull yourself out of your head and take a good look at whether or not you want to do the discomfort or the eating and the shame. And maybe that's where you write down at the end of what you're going to eating. Oh yeah. And I'm going to beat myself up real good when I'm done.
Okay. So timer 10 minutes, write down what I'm thinking in those 10 minutes, write down what I want to eat in those 10 minutes, and put the sticky on my TV.
Yeah.
And my steering wheel.
Yeah. And if none of that helps, you just get back in and you try something else.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You got to keep plugging away at it.
I will. I haven't disappeared yet, which is impressive for me. So
well, I'm really glad you got on the call tonight then.
No, thank you so much.
Came and asked for help. Make sure you get back on the call if you need more help, okay?
I will.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Kirsten Marie, you are next.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is my first time to coach.
Sure. What's up?
I was wondering if I could ask a question about the selfie challenge that we're doing in Queen's Club.
Okay.
I'm participating,
and
I'm having, I'm having problems. I think I've grown a whole bunch, and my thoughts are definitely changing. Uh-huh. And Alexa keeps talking, and I apologize if you can't hear
her. Alexa, tell me a joke.
Yeah, my son's about to come home, so I've got to wrap this up.
Okay.
What happened is I took a picture, uh-huh. and I caught something in the picture, and I really liked it.
Okay.
And it surprised me. And so I posted it because I liked the picture. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then 15 minutes later, I took it down because of other people's thoughts. And I realized that I would think, it keeps coming up that I think I don't, it, oh, it's so confusing. I've got notes. I'm just going to go to my notes. I'm not sure if it's other people's thoughts or if it's mine, but my whole life, the worst thing, especially as a teenager, is like I didn't want to be conceited or self-absorbed or full of myself. So I think that didn't happen, and I gave myself really low self-esteem, yay me, but that's changing. And I'm having difficulty with that change because I keep running up to this idea about being conceited. So I Googled it, the word. I'm like,
I was just about to do that. Okay.
Don't worry. I did it for you.
Good. What does it say?
Excessively favorable opinion of one's own something, and that could be looks, that could be talent. And so that word excessively favorable. Mm-hmm. And then another one was feeling pleasure in something by which you measure your self-worth. So from those two definitions, today I tried to take a selfie, and I tried to take a really good one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't like this. I don't like what I'm doing. Something's not jiving here. And I think it was because it just seemed really excessive what I was doing. And I'm like, I don't even, like, I'm trying to get a good picture or a perfect picture, mm-hmm. but I think it's running up against like a core belief that, so it just feels wrong.
Why does it feel wrong to be happy with how you look? Why is that wrong?
There's two different feelings there, because I'm just starting to be able to look at pictures and be like, that's a good picture, or something new. I put on lipstick. Mm-hmm. I didn't put on lipstick to fix myself. I did it because it's pretty, or I painted my nails because it's pretty. And these are new things that aren't me trying to fix something that's broken. Mm-hmm. It's me doing some self-care. There's my son. I'll quiet him down. But so that's why I'm like, I can look at a picture. I can take a good picture and I'd be like, that's a nice picture. But this is going on Facebook, so it's got to be better or something. I don't know. And the other thing, I'm just going to throw it all at you real quick.
Okay.
How do you measure your self-worth? Like, ooh. It's not like feeling pleasure in something by which you measure your self-worth. Get your key. Oh, I'm so sorry. Perfect timing. But it's measuring your self-worth, and I'm not going to measure my self-worth by what I look like in a selfie.
Okay, then you've answered that question. How do you measure your self-worth? How does Kirsten measure her self-worth?
That is what I'm trying to figure out.
Because, how do you want to measure it?
Well, I made a list of like, if I could make a new human being, what would I pour into that person? And I got like 20 things of like what I'd want to pour into my kids, mm-hmm. or what I'd pour into this new person, since I'm feeling like kind of like a new person. Mm-hmm. And it was all good stuff, but it was a lot of stuff. And I don't know.
How do you measure whether or not you've done a good job today as a mom, as a wife, as a worker, as a person who showed up in Queen's Club? How do you measure that?
Oh, why you gotta ask the tough questions? Why can't you give me the answer?
Because I think everybody's answer is going to be different. Because everybody decides, each individual person decides how they want to show up that day.
Okay, here's the hard part. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from a frame of reference where I didn't have self-worth.
It doesn't matter.
So it's just matter. So new, and mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay, so tell me what's on the plan for tomorrow. What is your plan for tomorrow? I mean, not food plan, but your schedule. What's going on in your schedule tomorrow? You get up, you get your kids ready for school. What happened? What happens next?
I get up, I get my kids ready for school. And then I've been doing a lot of P&P stuff, or I will take care of things that need to be taken care of for my family.
Okay. So you're a stay-at-home mom?
I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Okay. So you do things at home, then the kids come home from school, you fix dinner, yep. Say hi to the husband or whatever. Okay. So how will you know tomorrow night when you go to bed at night, whether or not you showed up, whether or not you did everything in a way that you wanted to do it? How will you know?
Well, this is new, and it's that I'm proud of myself. Okay. I'm really proud of myself for but how
let's,
I'm-
Let's talk action line. Okay. The kids got to school on time, right?
They got to school.
Mm-hmm. You did your journaling.
I did my journaling.
You cleaned up the dishes. You fixed dinner. You did some laundry. Yeah.
I feel like I blessed my family through blessing my house. That's a new thought. But it's good. It's a good thought. It's new how I'm treating my kids.
Okay.
How, like, the thought work behind my actions are all, it's all just really new and different.
Okay. So and if you have, do you know the model?
Yes.
Okay. So if the result line is, I showed up today. Sure. We put all those actions in, all those things you did, right? The house cleaning, the journaling, the kids are at, got to school on time, fed the dog, whatever, all that stuff.
I think one of them's locked outside right now. He's okay though.
Do you want to run and go get him?
I don't know where he went. He's fun. Y'all get a tour of the house.
Okay. So what feeling do you have to have to do all those things during the day?
What thought do I have
what
to have?
What feeling do you have to have?
I do my best when I feel good.
Okay.
Hey, baby. Sorry. Come on in.
So you feel like prepared or confident or good
confident,
or accomplished?
Yes.
Confident. Okay.
Confident.
And what thought?
I'm like confident that I can do it and that it'll get done. And
right.
I'm on a phone call. Okay. So yeah, it's
and
that,
the thought that, that leads
and it's new, that new confidence.
Right. So why do you feel confident? Why do you have this new confidence?
Because I'm working really hard at it.
That's your thought. I'm working really hard. Confidence. Done all these things and I've showed up today. That's how you evaluate your self-worth. So to you, for you, someone who's giving it her all and improving her life every day and blessing her house and her family every day is someone who has good self-worth. I get a thumbs up. So that helps.
I'm writing all of that down. Okay. I'm going to journal about it.
Okay.
That was good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As far as the Queen's Club challenge goes, I will tell you that you took that picture down because of your own judgment of it, not because of someone else's. You had a thought about what other people were saying.
I did, and I wrote them all down. Mm-hmm. I wrote down because I can read minds. I can tell you exactly what they're saying.
Well, there you go. That's good for self-worth too. You can read minds.
Oh, no, Kathy.
The whole point of the challenge is so that you can see what your inner dialogue is about a picture of yourself. Okay. Whether it's good or not so good, or some days it's great, some days it's not, but it's so that you can evaluate what you see in that picture and how you talk to yourself.
Okay.
This
is good.
Doesn't matter what anybody else says. I mean, that's a C line. Let's say Kathy made a comment. Oh, you know, Kristen, you look beautiful today. That either makes you feel good or makes you feel uncomfortable. Or actually the comment doesn't. You have a thought about the comment. You know, she's full of crap, or, oh, isn't she nice? And then you run your model from there.
That, yeah, that's changing. Now I'm just saying thank you and like, what if it's true? Instead of going, whatever, you just are trying to be nice. It's turning into, what if my thought's not true? And what if they're like, what if somebody's being true?
So your thought, if I say you look beautiful today, your thought might be, I'm open to believing that that's true.
Yeah.
I'm learning how to believe that that's true.
Yes.
And then you run your model from there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Amaka, you're next. Well, here we go.
The light's not that good.
Let me. Hey there. That's because you got light behind you.
Yeah, let me go where I was originally. Okay. Okay, so.
I saw you have your YouTube channel up.
Well, yeah, I have the name. But yeah, I'm still in the process of figuring out my life. I had a situation yesterday that's kind of like trickling down to today. And so Betsy said, thought that I told Betsy this morning that I'm going to go and on the call. I need help around my thoughts about work.
Okay.
I feel like if I think of work, my blood boils. And then I feel my blood pressure increasing. I hate my job so much. And I'm getting to the point that I'm resenting my patients and resenting my coworkers and resenting the fact that I have to be there. So it's like a lot of anger and frustration. And I think the word that came out several times when I was writing my question was resentment.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you know what I do. But I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner, so I see patients, you know, give them advice and stuff like that. And I feel like I'm wasting my time with them and not focusing on my goals, which sounds very selfish and doesn't sound like a good practitioner, but I'm good at my job regardless, so I'm not really worried about that. But I feel like I'm just so annoyed that I have to spend time doing a job so I can, like, pay bills and not focus on my own goals. So at the end of the day, I just want to recharge instead of actually working on my craft.
Okay. So who are you resenting? Who do you resent?
I think anybody I interact at work, anybody I interact with at work, whether it's a patient
why,
or...
Why is it their fault?
It's not their fault. I mean,
isn't that what you're doing when you resent something? Aren't you placing blame? Resent someone or something? Aren't you placing blame?
Yeah, I think it comes, whenever I deal with work, a lot of feelings come up because, you know, it's like going back to the fact that I shouldn't even be at the job. How my parents made me do nursing in the first place. And then, like, I'm stuck. I just finished my loans because so now I'm finally kind of free, but not free because now I'm years behind in my career. It's like so many things that I want to do.
Oh, yeah, because you're what, 28 or something?
29, Kathy. 29. Get it together.
Yeah. How old? All right, just for fun, how old do you think I am?
54.
I'm 53.
53, okay.
Changed careers at 53.
I know, but like...
Okay, Amaka.
About me.
That aside, for you, yeah, this call is about you. You're right. You don't resent your patients. You resent your parents. You resent yourself. You resent your decisions. That's who you resent. Resentment is personal.
Okay.
You're not resenting those people that walk in the door. You just don't want to be there to help them. You want to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
So own that. Stop blaming it. Just own the fact that I don't want to be here.
I don't want to be here. Okay.
Right. You're making a choice every day you go to that job. You're choosing that job. Every day. So why do you get up every morning and go to that job? Why are you choosing that job?
I tried to get out of the job.
Answer the question.
I'm getting to it. I choose this job because I've tried other jobs. I tried to look for other jobs, and this is the best situation for the best situation that I can get right now with my career and degree.
Okay, but why are you choosing to stay in this field?
I have bills to pay.
Right?
Yeah.
Why else?
I don't like roommates, so I want to be able to afford my own place.
Okay. So we You don't like roommates. That's all right. Some people don't. Okay. So you have bills.
I have bills.
Mm-hmm. You don't want a roommate.
Yeah.
Why else are you choosing to get up and go to that job every day?
Because I don't trust anybody else in my job to do a good job compared to me. So I'd rather do it myself.
Oh, that's really interesting. You hate the job, but you don't trust anyone else to do it.
No, they don't know what they're doing. I'm the best one. I know. I tell people I'm the best NP because I'm the craziest person there.
You understand the people.
I understand them way too. Yeah, I'm good at my job. It's like frustrating too because I am good at my job.
Yet you resent the fact that you have to get up and go do it. Do you see that? How that contradicts?
This is why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. It's like.
Is there any other reason you choose to get up and go? Do you like helping these people?
Sometimes I like helping them because it kind of, especially if they're related to things that I enjoy, I could use my helping them to help me. Sounds horrible, but I'm just going to own it.
That's a judgment you can make on your own.
Yeah.
That's not my judgment. Why do you, have you ever heard Corinne talk about why she started coaching weight loss? Because it made her accountable to all the people she was coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you like helping people. So these are four pretty good reasons to get up and go to work every day.
Yeah.
Okay. So every time you get up and you go to work, you're choosing to pay your bills. You're choosing to live by yourself. You're choosing to show up and do a good job. And you're choosing to help people. Now, I'm not trying to talk you into liking your job. What I'm trying to do, though, is show you that you're choosing every day to get up and go to it. You could also choose to call them up tomorrow and say, I'm not coming back. But you're not doing that. It's okay that you're not doing that, but own the fact that you're not doing that. Don't walk in there going, I hate my job. I resent all y'all. When you're the one showing up every day so you can pay your bills, so you can help people, so you don't have a roommate, so you can go to the grocery store, right?
Probably shouldn't go to the grocery store. That's why
everybody needs to go to the grocery store. But you get my point, right?
Yeah.
You don't. Why are you choosing resentment? Why don't you choose, I'm going to go make sure my bills get paid, while in the evening I'm setting myself up to someday leave this and do what I really want to do?
That's what I'm trying to see, because I feel like whenever I think about work or I'm at work, the emotions come in. I wrote a question yesterday on Corinne's self-love course, and I said, like, I feel like I can't. I feel like the feeling that I have is like so overwhelming that I don't know how to sit in it. So then I need food to do something because whatever I'm doing is not working. So I'm not asking questions. I'm just kind of like venting right now, but it's just like, I don't know why it's getting to the point that it's so overwhelming that it kind of takes over me, that I lose focus sometimes at work.
What is overwhelming?
Just the feeling that I feel like I'm like, I feel like something in, it's like the kettle is,
the resentment of being at work is overwhelming?
Yeah, that it gets to the point that if I don't do something, I'm afraid I'll do something that'll actually be bad. Or
are you journaling about all this? Are you getting all these thoughts out of your head? That's what you need to do.
I know.
Every morning, seriously. I mean, seriously. Because what happens with all these thoughts that are in your head is that they get to be this big tangled mess of yuck in your head. And it just grows and mushrooms, and eventually, it just kabooms.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. But you know what I'm saying. You have to actually empty your head out of all that stuff in order to process it. Okay? So every morning, you need to get up and ask yourself, how do I want to show up today? And how am I feeling right now? And just empty it out. Picture all those words coming out of your fingertips. Actually, do that in reverse order. Ask yourself first, how am I feeling? And then say, how do I want to show up today? Okay? You've got to clean up all the resentment and the anger and the I don't want to be here's in order to create this transitional period in your life where you're still able to pay your bills, yet you're developing what you want to do. I know this because this is what I did. In the 3 years that I continued to work my full-time job, I didn't hate it, but I wasn't crazy about sitting in an hour's worth of traffic to and from work and dealing with government bureaucracy every day when I really wanted to be working at PMP and coaching full-time. But in order to set myself up where I could leave that job and work at PMP full-time, I had to have that transitional piece, and I had to keep showing up at the job I really didn't want to be at so that I could pay my bills, so that I could eventually move on to do what I really wanted to do. And I did a lot of thought downloads about how I didn't want to go to work that morning, but I needed to go to work because I wanted to help people. I wanted to pay my bills. I have a roommate, I have a husband. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to be okay with showing up at work while you create your new life. You're not just going to be able to blink your eyes and be finished with nursing and famous stand-up. It's going to be a process, and you have to allow yourself the grace to develop the process.
Yeah.
Or quit the job and go work at Target while you develop the process.
Yeah.
I don't think quitting the job is going to be the solve for you. I think understanding that you're deciding to stay in the job and for what reasons is going to be where your work is.
So when people are, when I ask questions that I believe are just idiotic, because I should like focus back on the reason why I'm still there. Because sometimes I'm just like, come on, guys, like this doesn't make any sense. I make things foolproof for a reason, and you still manage to be a fool. I don't know what to do.
Who are you telling? Are you telling this to patients?
No, my coworkers. Oh, I mean,
what kind of nurse are you again?
I'm a psychic. I use my humor.
But so you just tell them I'm choosing to be here right now. I'll let you know when I choose something else. You don't have to justify anything to them. You have a hard enough time justifying it to yourself.
Yeah.
Seriously. If you showed up at work today, it's just time to show up at work. And then when you go home, it's time to do what you do at home. You told me you're good at your job. You help people. Yeah. You just gotta set the thoughts that I really don't want to be here aside, because you really do want to be there, because you really do want to pay your bills and you really do want to help people.
I'm trying to make it a perfect situation, perfect scenario, so that like at work, when I leave, you don't talk to me. And there still seems to be a little bit of overlap, so that makes me also mad as well. Like anything that takes away from my time seems like the end of the world.
Well, is talking to you after work part of your job? Are you on call?
No. Sorry, that was really angry.
Then why do you answer the phone?
I don't answer it. I tell them when I come back, well, why did you call me? Why did you text me? I don't work, you know.
That's easy. That's called do not disturb on your phone.
Yeah.
You can fix that. And you can choose whether or not to get mad about it.
Yeah. The first few times I got mad, at this point, I always say I train people the way I want to be treated. So I train them enough to like not call me when I'm off.
Yeah. It's exactly what you do.
Right. I didn't cry. That's how mad I am.
Are you still mad?
Yeah. I mean, I still feel like it boiling. I think ever since my depressive episode last summer, every time I think of work, it's like fear and anger mixed into one.
Fear and anger about going to work?
Yeah. Last summer when I tried to look for a new job, I got really depressed, suicidal. So like, that's not a good thing. So I'm afraid I'm going to relapse. And then I'm angry that it made me do that in the first place. So now I feel like I'm a little stuck. So now it's kind of like...
Why don't you leave the summer, last summer in the past, and deal with today?
Yeah.
Because today, you're going to go to bed and you're going to get up and you're going to go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer, all that stuff happened. What you can have an effect on is what you do tomorrow, whether or not you show up mad or resentful or upset or just okay with being there. I'm not telling you to go in and love your job.
Yeah.
But just go in and be proud of how you showed up and then leave and come home and do what you need to do to get yourself, you know, get yourself transitioned into what it is you want to do.
Okay.
It sounds like because you want to pay your bills and because you don't want a roommate, it sounds like this is what you're going to have to do in order to change careers.
Yeah.
Right? All things in their time. Just give yourself the grace to do it correctly.
Yeah.
Whatever you think is correct.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. I have to bridge that thought, but I'll get there.
Bridge what thought? Which one sounds too pie in the sky to you?
The fact that this is what I have to do to get to my goal.
Okay. So you just say, I'm figuring this out.
Yeah.
Or... I'm open to learning what it takes to reach this goal.
Yeah.
I'm open to looking at possibilities. You know, you can bridge that thought for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Now you make sure you tell Betsy what a good job I did.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kathy.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Christy, you're next. Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay, great. I'm a little off kilter now because Amaka's call was so good.
Well, thanks.
I have a lot of things in common with her when it comes to job stuff and all of that. And. Mm-hmm. So now I'm a little lost in a good way. So, okay. So one of the things that I've been working on is work, which we've worked on just like Amaka. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've realized, well, yesterday's self-love call was great in the whole pick your exhausted thing. Cause we've talked about before, I think about it feels exhausting to work on my thoughts all night long at work. Mm. I'm already exhausted by work. Well, mm-hmm. I get to pick my exhausted.
Yep.
I can be exhausted because I'm trying to work on it and make it better, or I can be exhausted because I'm letting myself be miserable at work. So
right. That
was very helpful last night. I was able to, and I realized it wasn't as exhausting as I was making it sound like it would be to try to work on my thoughts while I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
So now the obstacle that I'm working on, or not obstacle, but the thought that, and I'm doing okay with it to some extent, but the one that I feel like is going to be the sticking point that may allow me to go back to that choosing my dirty diaper is there's something in there, and I'm trying to get to the core of it, that like somehow me being happy at work or happier and not miserable is gonna, I don't know, mean that I'm giving in or lowering my expectations, or
giving into what?
Giving
into what?
To all the things that I feel like are wrong that need to be better or fixed.
At work?
Yes.
Okay. Why do you think being happy at work means you're okay with the way things are then?
See, that's what I'm trying to get to. Why do I think? I guess.
Is that the truth? Let's ask it that way. Is you're showing up in a decent mood at work, does that really mean you're okay with how things are going at work? Or does that mean,
I feel like I have to get okay with everything that I feel like is wrong in order to be happy.
Do you? Is that the truth?
I don't guess so.
It's not. Can't you just decide to be happy and go to work and get along with people and do your work and come home?
And still disagree with the way some things are. Yeah. Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Like I can still be.
You can be happy and judgy at the same time. No, but seriously, you decide how you're going to show up.
You can be happy and judgy.
You decide how you show up. You decide if you're going to go in there and be all judgmental and pissed off and, you know, whatever. You decide that you're going to go in there and show up as a badass, you know, social worker that does her job and is happy about it and goes home. Regardless of whatever anybody else is doing around you, you show up like you want to show up.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean I can still be.
Whose expectations are you worried about? Are you worried about theirs, or are you worried about how you show up?
I think a little of both, but more it's my own expectations, because, you know, sometimes I realize I'm just being passive aggressive and that mm-hmm. I want them, you know, to suffer like me or some bullshit like that, but I'm not willing to do a shitty job in order to, you know what I mean? Like, because I can't sleep at night if I do that.
Have you met Amaka?
I know. I actually reached out to her in the middle of the call. I'm like, oh my God, we need to connect. Like, so much of what she's saying was singing to me.
But seriously, that's, you know, how you show up is all about you. How they show up is all about them.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, and the conditions that you work in, you decide how you're going to show up in them.
Yeah. And I did realize that in a TDL that I'm taking a lot of it personally, almost like it's a personal attack on me that, but it's not like they don't, like they have no clue, you know, and when I say they, I mean administration, like they have no clue really what's going on. And, you know, I mean, it's not like they're sitting there, how can we make, you know, Christy's life more miserable, or all of the workers on the evening shift more miserable, or, you know, I guess I feel like it's giving in somehow, but I don't know why I think giving in is bad either.
Why do you think it's giving in at all? Why does it matter?
I don't know, because it's not like if I go home in a shitty mood and I'm exhausted and worn out and burnt out, that makes any fucking difference to them. And you know,
but
and
it
so
makes a big difference to you.
But yeah, exactly. Like I'm the one that's suffering, not them. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of hate myself that I want them to suffer. If you're mean, I'm like, God, why do I want anybody to suffer? But
yeah, and you can't. I mean, that's that's a whole nother coaching call.
Yeah.
I really want you to work on why you think your expectations of them affect you. Why are you even focusing on them rather than focusing on how you show up and doing the best job you can do?
I guess because they're the ones that have the control to change, like not how I feel and how I show up, but change the situation. And
what are you doing to communicate changes you think need to happen?
Oh, good Lord. I'm constantly.
Okay.
I'm constantly.
So you're showing up as a change agent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they ultimately make the decisions.
Yeah.
So when you hang on to that truth, what's your thought? I've told them what needs to happen. This is what I said. It's up to them. What's your thought?
When it doesn't change, or I mean, nowadays it's like, well, I've let them know, but they're not going to do anything.
Okay. So that's the thought.
Mm-hmm.
I've let them know, but they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Which makes you feel pissy.
Mm-hmm. And unempowered and out of control.
So what if unempowered, what's it? Mm-hmm. What's a thought that it actually empowers you in that, with that circumstance? I've told them what needs to happen. They get to decide. How about just, I used my voice. I communicated I communicated my opinions about this.
Yeah. And then I'd just go to, but they don't give a shit. You know what I mean?
That's a whole nother model.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I guess. It just, that comes directly after. So I just need to stop that.
That's the unintentional model.
Okay.
Okay. Your thought could be, I've done what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've truly done what you can do and you continue to communicate what needs to be improved and you feel good about that, about how you're showing up in that situation, that's empowering.
Yeah.
You know, they can't be in your result line. Them making changes can't be in your result line.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can have a thought all day long that they're not going to believe you or they're not going to make any changes. And that just leaves you mad.
Yeah. And you know, you said, and I know that like they believe me. I just need to get past that, but nothing's going to change. Cause that's what.
It's because you don't know that. You can't see in the future.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That's just something you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't like the result it creates. So why are you telling yourself that?
Yeah, that's true.
You're just, that's called playing in the diaper.
I'm so good at that.
Nothing's going to change. I don't know why I bother. Let's just play in my diaper a while.
I'm so good at
ding dong, you know? Right?
Yeah, that's true. That's, mm-hmm. Nothing's going to change is really, I mean, and the thing is, it may change. It just might not be on my timeline. You know, like,
yeah. That's an interesting thought. You might model that one too.
Yeah.
Things might change, just not on my timeline.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. We are an hour in and there are 8 people with their hands raised. I'm going to bet I'm not going to get through all 8, but I will try. Mary, you are next. Are you there, Mary? Okay, Mary is not here. So I'm going to take you back down to attendee. If for some reason you stepped out, raise your hand again, okay? Julie, you're next.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. This is the first time that I've signed up to be coached.
Oh, yay.
So I joined the tribe back in October of 2017.
Okay.
And I did almost nothing with it until about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. A starter sometimes. In that time, I went on a liquid diet and I lost 40 pounds very quickly.
Okay.
And it was great, except that it's really not sustainable.
Right.
So I went to Weight Watchers and was on plan for almost a month and lost nothing. And okay. Said, okay, so let me try something different. Let me eat that thing I signed up for all this time ago. Let me try that.
Yeah, that I'm still paying for.
I'm persistent.
Yeah.
Some ways.
Sometimes you have to work through the other stuff first.
Exactly. And so I am on, I think, day 13 of making a 24-hour plan.
Good.
And I am mostly sticking to it.
Okay.
And I don't believe it's going to work. I believe it's working for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a science background. You know, I understand physics enough to know that if I do what I'm supposed to do, there's only one possible result.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I don't believe it's going to work for me. And that obviously is problematic.
Well, sure it is.
Continuing.
Mm-hmm. Because you're going to sit in doubt all the time. You're going to doubt your decisions. You're not going to put forth a lot of effort. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm putting forth the effort at this point. And okay. I've paid and I've lost nothing. So I'm also collecting evidence that I'm right, even though I don't want to be right.
Okay. So let's evaluate the basics. Let's just do this, okay? So you've created 13 plans in a row. So you're 13 days in.
Yep.
How many days have you been 100% on plan?
I think it's 9.
Okay, so 9 of 13 on plan.
Uh-huh.
How many times have you had an overeat?
At all, probably. I can't access, unfortunately. Because
it's okay, just estimate.
At all, probably 10.
Okay, so 10 overeats in 13 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
And significant ones, meaning more than like going to a 3 or so, I would say 3 times.
Okay.
And one of those I would say was a binge. The others were just overeats.
How's your water?
It's really good. It's usually somewhere around 100 ounces.
All right, how's your sleep?
I try. I'm not great at sleeping. I put in the time. I'm in bed, but I'm not necessarily sleeping.
Okay, so I'm getting my calculator here. So 9 of 13 is 69%.
Okay.
So you're 69% on plan. You've had 10 overeats and 3 were pretty big. Have you maintained through this?
Significant. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Have you maintained through this?
Have I maintained? Yes. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you were to like be 13 of 13 on plan and cut your overeats in half, what do you think would happen?
I don't know. And
I bet you do. You're a pretty smart girl.
Well, I mean, I might lose weight. Mm-hmm. The only reason that I'm uncertain is I know what the overeats have been like and what the off plans have been like.
Mm-hmm.
And I have about 50 to 70 pounds to lose. And so it's not been, I mean, I've turned 50. And so I'm a little afraid that that's a factor.
Don't blame the age.
Okay.
Don't blame the age. If you are overfeeding yourself, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how old you are.
Okay.
If but you are, if you are following your hunger scale, it doesn't matter how old you are. There are women in their 60s who have lost mm-hmm. significant amounts of weight doing this program.
Right. Which
so
I love.
It's not going to work for you if you don't create realistic plans and follow them and avoid the overeats.
So the thing, though, that concerns me is that if I ate like this in the past at this weight, I know I would have lost weight. And so I don't know what I'm missing there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you have exactly the same data from the past?
Not exactly, no, okay. But... in the
do
same
you think? Do you think the circumstances of the past are exactly the same as they are now, other than age?
Other than age,
movement, stress level, kids at home, work,
lower stress. I mean, probably so. Actually,
so
yeah, lower
so,
now.
So they're not the same. Things are not the same.
Okay.
All right. So make sure you're comparing apples to apples. That's my okay. point. Okay. You can say, if I ate like this, you can, it's conjecture. If I ate like this 10 years ago, I would have lost weight. All that, that's a thought. You don't know that. You can't prove it in court.
I'm a lawyer.
Can you prove that in court? Be honest.
And this is one of the hangups. I really feel like I can prove that if I were eating the calories mm-hmm. now, back then, that I did lose weight. I mean, lose something. I'm not talking like dropping significant weight in 2 weeks, but going from eating very unhealthy to eating pretty healthy, reasonable portions, all of those things. In the past, I would have lost something. And
10 overeats in 14 days, mm-hmm. you think you would have lost weight?
Because I know what the overeats were, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like you have come up with some evidence that you 100% believe. Your belief is that you're looking for evidence that this plan is not going to work for you, rather than looking for ways to level up the plan to see if it works for you.
Okay.
It's a mindset difference.
Okay.
So my question is, why are you looking for reasons this plan won't work for you?
I think because that's all I'm seeing at this point.
No. That's all you're looking for.
Well.
Why are you looking for reasons the plan won't work for you?
I mean, the only thing that I can think of is so that I could then stop.
Mm-hmm. What's the benefit to stopping?
It's more comfortable.
Yes. Get to eat what you want, when you want. You don't have to do all this work. You don't have to plan. You don't have to journal. You don't have to get on a coaching call. You don't have to, mm-hmm. you know, sit with discomfort. You don't have to do any of that stuff. So let's see how hard we can make it mm-hmm. to wrap our brains around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that okay. what you really want? Do you really want to stop?
No. I want to lose the weight.
So tell me then what's going right with the plan.
I'm doing what I need to do. I'm making the plans. I'm following the plans. The quality of the foods that I'm eating is dramatically different. I'm doing the mindset work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that part of it's working for you.
Yes.
So what do you think, if we were to look 13 days in the future, what do you think you could level up just a little bit to move the needle for you?
Well, I mean, I could definitely not binge.
Okay.
I'm continuing to work on finding the plus two. So okay. getting better.
So you could leave 3 bites behind yes. every meal to see what that feels like. Okay.
Yeah.
What else could you do?
I could, probably increase the fruits and vegetables that I'm eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you take something off the plan and add the fruit and vegetables, or would you just add fruit and vegetables to the plan?
I would probably add them at this
point. Okay. Yeah. That's it. That's what I was hoping you would say.
Okay.
You know, let's not restrict. Let's just offer them as an option, because then you can choose in the moment. Is this, you know, wouldn't fruit and vegetables be good here? Wouldn't a, mm-hmm. you know, an apple be good here or something? Mm-hmm. What could you do to level up your sleep?
I honestly don't know.
Would you like some tips?
I would love them. Yeah.
Because sleep is, you know, it's obviously one of the four basics, but it's so important, because that's where, when your body is at rest, it's fasting on yourself and it's mm-hmm. repairing and all that. Mm-hmm. So, a couple of things I always suggest to people is a bedtime routine. If you mm-hmm. do the same thing every night before you go to bed, like mine is, I go upstairs, I put my pajamas on, I brush my teeth, I wash my face, I brush my hair, I get in bed, I read, put on my meditation app, and I go to sleep.
Yep.
Always in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you are still not sleeping, that puts me, by the way, meditation app puts me right out.
I mean,
seriously, done.
Yeah.
If something like that doesn't work, if you have trouble staying asleep, you might take some magnesium that night.
Okay.
Don't take a lot, or else mm-hmm. you will have a bathroom problem the next morning. Kind of work your way into it. Mm-hmm. Magnesium, almost all of us are magnesium deficient. You know, if you ever get leg or feet cramps or anything like that, you need to increase your magnesium. It's a natural muscle relaxer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So start by taking a couple hundred milligrams at night.
Okay.
You can also take Natural Calm, which is in Corinne's Kit Store, that kit.com/fitandfat. It's a little magnesium mixture thingy you can take at night. I would suggest that as well. Try those things and see if that doesn't improve your sleep.
Okay.
You're also not only going to feel better, obviously, because you're sleeping, your whole outlook is going to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts will improve. You'll automatically be more positive, all that kind of stuff.
That would be great. It's been years and years.
Yeah. Sometimes I have trouble staying asleep, but mm-hmm. These days I started with Natural Calm. These days I take Doc Parsley's sleep remedy, which is also in her Doc Parsley's sleep remedy.
Okay.
I love that stuff. I stay asleep, and it's so nice to go to sleep and stay asleep.
Yes.
So, between that and the bedtime routine, I'm in the stage of life where I tend to have a few hot flashes at night. So staying asleep is very important to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll try those things, huh?
They'll hear him calling me. You know, I wake up and I'm afraid I've heard him calling. So that's part of the issue too. Yeah.
Try those things and see if you don't move the needle a little bit. And if you don't, in 2 weeks, get back on this call. I guess it'll be me in 2 weeks. It'll either be me or Betsy. I can't remember. We swapped one of the weeks. And tell us none of that worked, and let's try something new.
Okay.
Sounds
good. Very much.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right. Tasha, you're next. Oh, wait, I forgot to unmute you. There you are. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's very nice to finally meet you.
It's nice to meet you too. What's up?
Thank you. So I'm finally going to be able to have my spinal fusion in June.
Okay.
And now what's got me concerned is that my husband has gone out of town for work. He'll be traveling pretty much from now on. And once I get through the recovery, I'll be traveling with him. So that's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to have to recover at my brother's house.
Okay.
And my brother and I kind of have a food thing. Well, we had a food thing until I started B&B. We both love to cook and we love people with food and we're kind of competitive. And the first thing he said when I told him I was going to need to recover at his house was, oh, good, I'll get to do all these new recipes that my wife won't eat and my son won't eat. And, you know, and you'll get to try all this. But he eats nowhere near my protocol.
Okay. So tell him. Have you told him?
I've tried to tell him. And basically his answer is, he jokingly refers to P&P as a cult.
Okay. A lot of people do.
Brainwashing from your cult. And I'm like, no, this is, I've already lost 41 and a half pounds mm-hmm. and I'm not going now, you know? And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm outside. The tractor went by.
That's but okay. Anyway,
you know, I could do some prep like I did last time getting ready because I was going to recover at home. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of prep and freezer meals that I could put in the pressure cooker, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I do that, but I'm still at their mercy to, you know, prepare those for me or finish the preparation for me or whatever. I can't very well go to their house and expect them to chop up a salad bar every week.
Why not?
Well, I mean, isn't that a bit much to ask of somebody?
Is it? What do you think Corinne would do? Let's say Corinne's having spinal fusion.
Well, Corinne,
Kathy, Kathy, I'm going to have to stay at your house.
Right.
And by the way, in order for me to recover properly, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a salad bar in the fridge.
Right.
You think she would, if she were to show up at your brother's house, do you think she'd eat whatever he fixed? Or would she probably call up Instacart and say, I'm going to need you to deliver a salad bar?
Right. That's what she would do. But unfortunately, I'm not in the financial position to, you know, pay for that kind of convenience right now. And I mean, I don't know. I'm just struggling with, you know, because like you, I'm a people pleaser. I'm trying to recover, but, you know, and I have no intent. I mean, I can still eat to my two. I know that I can still do, you know, other things, but as far as, you know, what's being prepared, I just don't feel comfortable going in there and saying,
Did you call him up and ask him if you could recover at his house?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't think he realized that entailed.
So you advocated for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. So can't you call him up and say, I love you, but I'm going to need to have a salad bar?
I can try that.
Why can't you? Why is that a try? Why can't you? You've already said I'm moving in for, 6 weeks?
Right.
I'm moving in for 6 weeks. In order for me, you know, I'm really proud of the work I'm doing on myself. And in order for me to continue this work, I would be super happy if you'd help me out by having a salad bar in the fridge.
Okay. I can try that.
Tell why is it try? Why are you so hesitant?
It's a try because my brother is very headstrong and very forceful. Very, you know, when he makes up his mind about something, it's just, you know, that's how it okay. is. And
is he going to say no? You can't have a salad bar?
I don't know what he'll say.
What if he does? I mean, what if he says no? What if he says no?
Then I'm pretty much at his mercy.
That's a thought. That is such a thought.
Okay.
You're going to have grocery money. You're probably right. going to help him with groceries, right?
Absolutely.
Here, what's his name?
Tim.
Here, Tim. Here's my part of the groceries. Really would like for you to pick me up a salad bar.
Okay.
I'm assuming that you can't go to the grocery store on your own right after spinal fusion.
No. And that's okay. Some of the questions I'm going to ask the nurse when I talk to her tomorrow is, you know, how soon before I can prepare a simple meal.
Yeah.
That yeah. sort of thing. But
get all that lined up. But in the meantime, you have to ask him for what you need. You don't have to be a victim to whatever he's going to fix.
Okay. Okay.
Don't blame your people pleaser. Believe me, it doesn't work. You just get angry because he's going to end up fixing you fried chicken or something that you don't want, and you're going to eat it, and you're going to be mad at both him and yourself.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Instead of saying, here's my, you know, here's my part of the groceries, I'm going to give you a list as well, too.
Right. Right. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You sound so like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this.
I'll do it. I will. And, you know, I can even take the first salad bar over there. I can prep it the night before surgery.
Right. Right.
And take it. I know it's going to be at least 2 weeks before I'm, you know, able to move, do much of anything. So, you know, it's just, if you knew my brother, but I know you've heard that one before. But
oh, I have brothers. I have had strong brothers. I promise you, I do.
He got mad at me at Thanksgiving because I wasn't doing BLTs. You know, we cook for 3 days for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. He and I together. It's like our tradition, you know, our thing that we do together. And it's awesome. But he kept trying to shove food in my mouth. And I was like, Tim, I can't. You're going to have to.
He gets to get mad. That's his choice.
Right.
You didn't eat because he got mad.
No, I didn't.
Right.
Right.
He gets to be annoyed by this too. It's his choice. You True. Also get to stand up for what it is you need. You get to True. Self-advocate.
You're right. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
Yeah. You're going to recover better if you feel better. You're going to feel better if you stay on protocol.
Absolutely. And that's been on my mind. You know?
Tell him that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't want you to be unhappy or in pain.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's just, you know, excited. He's going to get to take care of his little sister for a while. And, you know, he's already planning all this Indian food and this Chinese food and all the different cuisines that we like to try and all this different stuff. And I'm going, dude, put on the brakes. Just hold on.
Tell him to research some salads. They have great recipes on Pinterest. Seriously.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I will definitely.
Just help him frame. Help him frame it. Say, Indian food's not my jam anymore, dude.
Right. Well, I do love it, but it would be an exception.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could tell him.
And maybe that's what you do, right? Once a week, this is what we'll do, and I'll eat it to a two. But the other days, I'm going to need my salad bar.
Right. Right.
Aren't you proud of me? Aren't you proud of the weight I've lost?
And he is. He every time he sees me, he tells me. And the truth is, he could learn a thing or two. So, you know, maybe it'll be a good influence on him.
Maybe so. Does that help?
It does. It does.
All right. Well, I hope it goes well.
Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right. Nobody's going to stand up for you like you will.
You're right. Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Kim, you're next. Well, this is strange. I have no way to unmute you.
Are you
say
there?
Something. Oh, there you are. Huh.
Hello.
Awesome.
I always fix my hair while we're talking. So I've been encouraged to get on the call evening because of my accountability group. So here I am. Voila.
Okay.
Goal met for the week. You know the backstory on the sister relationship.
Why don't you go ahead through again real quick.
Right. So it is a loving relationship, but we have communication challenges.
Okay.
And resentments on both of our parts sometimes get bent out of shape. And I have in the past coped with it with food.
Okay.
Food is my excuse.
Okay.
So at camp, we basically have said, no longer using food, we are using thoughts and downloads, feelings, putting everything out on a journal.
Okay.
And so far, so good. We are going on vacation next week. Vacation/ work trip for me.
Okay.
So there will be a group of us, my mom, cousins, there's 8 of us that will be in one location for 4 days, 5 days.
Okay.
So I did an intentional model. And so I was hoping we could go through it to know if I am on track. So it relatively, you can say, yes, thank you very much. You're all good. And we can go on to the next one.
All right. Let's do it.
My circumstance is my sister is joining us on vacation.
Okay. Sister on vacation.
Yep.
Okay.
This is the intentional. Okay. So the thought is, I will love the time she will be with us and okay when she chooses not to be.
Okay.
And that gives me a feeling of love and happiness for the both of us. Like we both are at a level of happiness. We're both okay with all this.
Okay.
And the action is I go about my day spending time with the people that I am able to.
Okay.
Which is a result of, I always goof up my result. I always want to turn it into a group event.
Mm-hmm.
My result, you did it while we're talking to other girls. I enjoy the time that I get to spend with my sister.
Or your family. Because your action is to spend time with.
She really seems to be my biggest hiccup in the respect of.
Okay, so let's take the family out of the model.
Right. I'm zeroing in on her as far as. For some reason, she allows me. That is really one of my big.
Okay, so let's take the rest of the family out of the model.
Yeah.
The thought is, I will love the time I'm with her and accept and be okay with the time I'm not, right?
I enjoy the time I do get to spend with my sister.
Okay.
Is the result.
Well, let's put that, what was the thought again?
The thought is, I will love the time she will be with us and okay when she chooses not to be.
Okay. Okay. So the result then, after, tell me what the action was again.
I put the action as, I go about my day and spend time with the people and just spend time with the people I am able to. So she will be spending time with her when I can.
That's basically you enjoy yourself on vacation.
Yes. And allow her to be herself. Like, since camp and with camp really did, make me aware that I need to be more empathetic. Empathy for her was really a zero light bulb kind of moment that,
is it empathy you need to feel, or is it acceptance for who she is? Or is it some of both?
Probably some of both. Mm-hmm. Empathetic to the level of responsibility that she does have, even though her responsibilities are different than mine, and how she looks at them. And that that was a process for me, as much as you don't want to admit that. But so it's good. So what do you think of my model?
Is it believable to you?
Yes. And I guess I making it an I statement, I don't know why that's hard for me. Like, I don't know why that's not my go-to. Like, I wanted to generally say we, just make it all. Yeah, so I don't know if there's thought downloads and models to be done with.
Probably. It's because you're taking responsibility with an I statement. It's about you. You get to spread the responsibility if it's a we statement.
Right.
I think in this situation, an I statement is very appropriate because it determines how you show up. It's the thought that you're going to do, and you can't blame it on anyone else.
Right, right.
Right?
Yep.
So if that's truly the thought you want to go into vacation with, I would work the heck out of it if it feels good to you.
It does. And it took me a while to get here in the sense it did. It took me 48 hours to get here as far as.
Well, and that's okay.
My accountability, So yeah, it does feel I got there. And that whole laddering. Yeah. But I'm not confident in my model, so I will just hop on whenever I can to.
Why aren't you confident in it? I asked you
For example, the we, and I tend to mix my unintentional and intentional. I tend to kind of cross over.
Okay, so the unintentional, if you understand the difference, you really won't cross over. The unintentional is where you are right now that you're not happy with.
Right. And somewhere along the action, I want to fix it. Like, I want that to...
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, let's work the unintentional model for a minute. Sister's gone on vacation.
Listen.
I
am stressed that she's going to act out and not want to participate with the family.
Okay.
And I get frustrated. I get sad.
Which one?
Both.
Which one?
Frustrated.
I worry she'll act out.
Is the thought.
Right. Pick which is the more predominant feeling. When you say I worry she'll act out, which is frustrated?
Frustration.
Okay. And when you're frustrated, what do you do?
I may verbally abuse her and then choose chocolate to mentally numb myself to the feeling of what I just did.
Okay. So verbally abuse and eat.
Yes.
And your result is, guess what?
I'm pissed.
You've acted out.
Yes. I act out by eating, overeating, and then.
Okay. So there's no fixing this model. This right. is just what it is.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It's very immature. Yeah. Like it's.
Well, and that's okay. It's okay. What I want you to see though, is the model goes all the way to the result line.
Yeah.
And the result reflects the thought.
Yes.
So you, by this time you've both acted out, you've had a big argument or right. you've whatever.
48 hours ago, I was fixing it in the action and the results.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that's called a mixed model. So
I have success there.
Yeah. Well,
So then
what if you were to say, instead of I'm going to love her and all this kind of stuff, what if you were to say, I am open to accepting how we interact? What if you were to say that?
I will use that while I journal on this vacation work trip. Mm-hmm. I can use that.
You might ask yourself when you're journaling, how can I accept the person my sister is? I think you have a lot of judgment of how she's going to act or might act or will act or does act. What if you just say, you know what? This is just, she's just my sister.
I struggle with that because of her privacy issue. Like, I don't know what's going on in that girl's head sometimes.
Doesn't matter.
I know she's struggling.
For you to accept her, you don't have to know what she's going through. All you have to do is accept who she is.
Can we talk about this after vacation?
I'm here every Tuesday. I'm here most Tuesdays.
But I'm happy to ponder it. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Totally open to pondering this because I really feel she will, I mean, she is a supportive person in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can, quote unquote, crack this nut as far as like bridging it, I just think.
So when you say
it's going to reflect a lot in all my relationships.
When you say she's a supportive person in your life, what feeling comes with that?
Well, I'm extremely grateful for her. Yeah, absolutely.
So you have a lot of thoughts about your sister that lead to a lot of different feelings.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes.
I have a lot of thoughts about a brother of mine that lead to a lot of different feelings. Ultimately, I care about him. I love him. He's my brother. Does he frustrate the crap out of me sometimes? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I also know I'm not going to change him. I know he's going to be who he is. He's responsible right. for who he is.
Right.
And, you know, I know when I spend time with him, I know who's going to show up. And that's okay.
Right. And I do have this added level of I am responsible for my own food intake and I'm not
right.
It's not somebody else's.
Right.
She is not part of my calorie intake any longer.
Right.
Which is huge because I've lost 8 pounds since camp.
Yeah.
So it's
she
huge.
Never was part of your calorie intake. You just cheated well. On her. Right?
I may have needed camp to figure that out.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about camp and the 2-day, right? Is you right. get to spend time in some really good self-examination.
Right. Very self-aware.
I'm super glad that that was so helpful to you.
It was, yeah.
That camp and the 2 days.
And this. Well, in fact, I feel like I have skills to talk to you with. So, yeah, it was very helpful. So I'm going to get off because I think we're good. I think then put somebody else on.
All right.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Enjoy vacation.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Melissa, your turn.
I'm really here.
Melissa?
Yes. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
What's up?
So I'm doing very well. I will say that. Kudos to me. I'm rocking it.
Okay.
I have a question that I was actually talking to my accountability partner today. Okay. It's all about the whole future self thing. And for some reason, when we listen to Corinne talk about, you know, that was the old me, this is the new me. Mm-hmm. And on a very logical level, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was talking to my AP today and I was like, yeah, but why do we have to become somebody different? And why do we have to have a different name? And it was understanding that whole mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I understand it as like on the outside, but I'm curious as to why, and I haven't found the reason yet, why it's bugging me so much.
Some people identify their future self with a name. Some people just really, that really, really helps them
mm-hmm.
zone in on the person that they want to become. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I never did that. I never gave my future self a name. Some people just do. And some people, you know, that just wasn't important to me. I could see who I wanted to be. I could see myself 80 pounds lighter,
right?
Being a weight loss coach, working for PMP. I could see all that in my future. It was almost like, this is the person I want to become. This is the goal that I've set for myself.
Right.
And along the way, I have done enough thought work and enough journaling and enough work on myself to become a little bit more self-confident, to increase my self-esteem. You know, it's that kind of change that you mm-hmm. see in your future self. It's not like Melissa is going to change into Brenda and have dark hair and a totally different personality.
Well, earlier today, it could have been darker. Oh, sorry.
It's just taking yourself and seeing yourself leveled up.
Right.
When it comes to your weight, your relationships, how you show up at work, how you show up in the world.
Right.
What does that look like? That's your future self.
And so that is like that, parts of that is kind of, I would say, is kind of scary, but right. it's only, well, that's the, I was just going to say, it's only scary if I make it scary.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It could also be exciting.
Right. You can choose your words. You can choose the words you want to use.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I can tell you anytime you set a goal,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a good goal for you if it makes you want to throw up.
Wise words by Kathy. Thank you. I'm going to write that on my board.
That's right. When
if it's
I,
a good goal, you should vomit.
When I decided I was going to quit my job.
Yeah, good for you.
And come here and work full time. I was excited and terrified at the same time. So mm-hmm. I knew it was the right thing because
right.
it was stretching myself just enough. And I had to have in that 3-month period where I closed out one career and started another one, I had to have a lot of emotional growth.
Did you have a lot of alone time to take care of that emotional growth? Does that make sense? I think my question is, did you journal more or?
I journaled a lot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I had hours of alone time though. You know, I had pockets of time where I would be introspective. You know, I might take my lunch hour by myself or, you know, cause I was working two jobs.
That's crazy. I get it.
I would always journal. I don't know if you've heard this story, but it's my cue to journal in the morning when my husband is in the shower.
Yes, I have heard that.
Okay. Cause that's my alone time. And it's only 10 minutes, but all you need is pockets of time to work on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, and I've had a shift in my work because I'm a singer and I teach voice and I do a lot of, I'm a Reiki healer. So, I'm always helping people with meditation or doing Reiki or teaching my kids and all this stuff. But one of my singing jobs has gone away.
Okay.
So that was a huge adjustment because I was there for 15 years and it's been really hard on me in my big old brain and my big old heart because it just broke me. Feeling like I'm wallowing, but then as my son said, Mom, he's 16. Look at it as a time to just start something new.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, you're amazing. He is amazing. And he's right, you know? So I do small increments, but then you get yourself, I get all like worked up. Like I should be doing more, but who's telling me that? I am.
Yeah. So let's think about May of 2020. Okay. Right. If you could create yourself in May of 2020, what would you look like? How much weight have you lost? What would you be doing?
I will be 80 pounds down.
Okay.
I will be. I'm on my way. I will be in the process of writing my book.
Okay.
By that time, I will have done my cabaret show in Manhattan.
Okay.
Which I have started. Still teaching my kids because that's what I love. Mm-hmm. I love my babies. Mm-hmm. And it just working on, there's another part of me that I won't talk about it now, but okay. That I'm working on as well. Okay. Just going in and having more, basically it's intuitive coaching. So it's having more clients for that work.
So you've just described your future self.
I did.
Yeah. It's just that easy.
Right.
It's just where do you want to be?
I'd like to be in a warmer climate. I don't want to be in New York. We could move.
Yeah. But you see, that's all the future self is. You keep her in mind. You keep that Melissa in May of 2020 in mind. And you just work toward her. What do you have to do to get there?
Right.
What do you have to do today to create her in a year?
Yeah,
and some people name Melissa in 2020, in the May of 2020, and some people don't. That's totally up to you.
Well, I was joking with my AP and I said, I have named her Lola, like, you know, whatever, Lola wants, Lola. Yes. Yeah. And she's like, no, I'm going to sing that song. I'll be
on. She was
like,
also a showgirl, right?
Yeah, she was a showgirl. I didn't even think about that. I went to musical theater land and you went to Barry Manilow.
I'm showing my age, girl. Does that help?
Yes. Absolutely. Now, one other question that I'm going to hang up. I've been taking melatonin at night, and it does help me get to sleep, which is usually my biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like you, wake up ripping the covers off and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Does the dark parsley help you with your hot flashes during the night that you notice?
I don't notice them, but let me tell you something that does help. Are you an oils person? Do you do essential oils? doTERRA has a blend called Clary Calm.
Clary Calm?
Yep. I have it in a little roll-up.
Oh, I love those rollers.
Okay. And you put it on your stomach.
Okay.
And not only does it help with the hot flashes, it helps if you're menstrual. It helps if you're crazy hormonal. It helps all that stuff.
Do you do it every day?
I do it when I need it. I don't do it every day, but you can.
Okay.
you can do it every day.
Clary Combi. Yeah, I have a bunch of friends who sell doTERRA. So
yep. I highly recommend Clary Calm. Now, I don't know that it helps you sleep, but it does help kind of balance the jingle jangles out.
Well, if it helps the whole, you know, hot flash action, that makes me happy.
So. Yeah. So when I get a hot flash at night, I have to get up out of the bed and walk around to cool off. So yeah, I get
sometimes
that.
Sometimes I have to do that. Or I lay like, you know, you lay like this.
Yeah, that doesn't even help.
Is that your husband says, what's wrong with you? And you're like, get away from me. That one?
Yeah. Don't touch me. I'm on fire right now.
That is exactly what he said to me. He goes, I love your voice when you're having a hot flash. You sound like me. I'm like, shut up. But yeah. So, okay, cool. All right.
All right.
Kathy, you're the best.
You're welcome. See you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. I'm going to be able to take two more. Mary, you're back. Maybe we can get you hooked up this time.
Oh my, I missed you the first time, and I'm so sorry about that.
That's okay. All I saw was ceiling, and I was like, she's not here.
I'm so embarrassed. Of course, okay. I was putting my son to bed.
Well, like, that's what, you know what? You can wait around for an hour and 45 minutes, and the minute I call, you'll be in the bathroom.
Goodness. I can't believe it. I had a feeling. I was like, I think I missed Miss Kathy. Anyways, oh my goodness.
Well, I'm glad you raised your hand again.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. You're for welcome. Taking my call. April baby, mm-hmm. first time call. This mm-hmm. was on my 24-hour plan to talk to you tonight.
Cool.
You're
on plan then.
Yeah, I'm on plan. I'm on plan. This is good. I guess my question for you is this. With the planning aspect mm-hmm. of everything, I'm not finding my two. I'm writing a recovery worksheet pretty much almost every day. I don't know what I'm going like up to, down to, up 0.6, down 0.6, you know, mm-hmm. since April 3rd or whenever mm-hmm. I joined the tribe. I've been listening to you and Corinne since January. My husband actually found you guys during the holidays, and
wow,
he goes, Mary, you got to listen to these ladies. You will really love them. So I credit him and to finding you all. But it's just I'm lost. I don't know what to. I know that sounds really. And I'm doing the realistic. I'm putting everything that I think I would eat in a day, even if it seems like so much. I just mm-hmm. put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay, here's what I want you to do.
All right, I'm ready.
Lunch and dinner tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Serve up your food.
Okay.
Eat half. Wait 10 minutes. And journal about what you feel in your body. Okay, and what I mean by that is all the physical feelings that would indicate whether you're still hungry or whether you're on the satisfied side. Okay, so you're going to think about, how does my throat feel? How does my stomach feel? How does my head feel? How, you know, really examine what your body feels like on the hunger scale and make notes. Okay, if you decide after 10 minutes that you are still hungry or you're not at plus two, eat half again mm-hmm. as much and do the same thing.
So like, for example, I'm a teacher, right? So I have mm-hmm. a specific lunch spot mm-hmm. and I, you know, I prepack my food. I'm really mm-hmm. good about that. Mm-hmm. I usually sit at my desk. I'm either talking to my colleague or, you know,
lunch is not going to work for this experiment, but dinner.
Yeah. So dinner. Okay. But dinner even when I'm, you know, usually I'm with my kids, you know, my family or whatever, just pause.
Yep.
And okay.
Yep.
All right.
Tell them you're doing an experiment. Invite them to do it with you. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
Well, my son, he's six. He is fantastic. He's like, I'm full. I'm done. I'm like, how does that happen? I don't know. Yeah. But then, you know, like, I'm like, where did he learn that skill?
Yeah.
He seems to know.
Well, what he's probably doing with that. You're probably overeating at lunch because you're eating distracted.
Yeah.
You're eating at your desk. All these things are going on around you. You turn around, your food's gone, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
but I really don't think so,
at lunch,
bring a lot to lunch. Okay.
Right. At lunch, leave 2 or 3 bites behind. At dinner, do this experiment.
All right.
You have to play with it a little bit to figure out where your plus two is. Cause that's, I expect that's what you're doing is eating past plus two.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm pretty much aware of that. But the, my thing with the plus two is like, should I be drinking? Like I'm always either, I'm usually drinking water. You know, it's so funny that the last caller was a vocalist. I'm like, me too, a singer. But I'm like with the, you know, I'm always drinking water, constantly mm-hmm. drinking water. Mm-hmm. But like I pride myself on getting that 64 to 96 ounces mm-hmm. a day. Mm-hmm. But should I not be, cause I think, was it you or Corinne or Betsy? One of you guys were like, don't drink water at, or.
Yeah, I wouldn't drink it mealtimes. Just because, you know, just because you want to really tune in to your food and to your hunger. And if you guzzle 8 or 10 ounces of water at the end of a meal, you're going to feel full.
Okay.
Because it's just going to, you know, the water's going to pile on to what you ate.
Okay.
So you can have a few sips and stuff. Just don't, you know, just don't drink a big old glass of water or something with.
All right. Okay. And then I'm doing the recovery worksheets. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. I color coded them. They're like, my friend Jody's like, it's like you're getting a yellow card or a red card. And I'm sound like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
A soccer that's mom. True.
Yeah. So, you know, depending on the time, I either do my 2 minute or I do the full one. But I, you know, like for example, like I did one this evening, and when it says, "What is one resistance thought you had if you were white knuckling?" I grab ass cookies when I was prepping my kids' lunch.
You weren't white knuckling; you were fog eating. White knuckling is when it feels really hard to not eat. What you're doing, it sounds is you're eating distracted. You're grab assing without thinking. You're eating with a big, you know, at your desk. That's more like fog eating. That's distracted eating. Storm eating is more like white knuckling, fighting an urge, eating through emotion and things like that. Sounds you're doing more fog eating is what it sounds like to me. So that question probably really doesn't apply.
Yeah, I literally said none.
Yeah.
I don't know what I could have thought differently there.
If you find you're eating because you're angry or stressed out, then you will have an answer to that question.
Okay.
Because you're probably fighting yourself about whether or not you want to eat. And then you give in and you eat.
Okay. What is your, a quick question too, with your thoughts on stopping eating? Like on my plans the last couple of weeks, it's been, I'm stopping at 7:30. I'm stopping by 8. Mm-hmm. Is that reasonable? Is that something that I, you know, should make a habit or?
What I think you should make a habit is not eating when you're not hungry.
Okay.
And if that means you're not hungry after 8 o'clock, you know, you can set yourself that rule if you want to. Okay. If you're a nighttime eater and you're eating not hungry, I would set the rule.
Okay.
But that's, I mean, when I'm finished dinner, I'm finished for the night, but then I don't get hungry again. If I do, sometimes by about 9 o'clock, I get a little twinge of hunger. I just have a cup of hot tea.
Yeah. Okay.
So, or a glass of water. It's usually not real hunger. It's usually just thirst anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited to be a part of the tribe and stuff like this. And I've gone back and forth, you know, with, you know, all these different diets, you know, for many years now. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm just trying to figure out this whole, I guess it is the mental part of it.
Yeah.
But
it's all mental.
I can't like tune into that hunger scale. And I'm like, I'm struggling. So, but I will do that. So I'm feeling throat, stomach, head.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot it takes practice and it takes messing it up to really dial into your hunger scale. So it's going to take time and it's going to take effort to look for it. And you have to do it. You have to look for it as undistracted as you can be. You have to really pay attention. That's why you put in those pauses. And just really pay attention for a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. We'll see you. Bye.
Bye. All right. 7:54. I'm going to take one more person and then answer the Q&A. So, Kristen, it looks like you are it. anybody else I didn't get to, go on over to Ask Coaches and throw something in there for us to talk about, and we will answer or come back on Saturday. Hello.
Hello. I'm an April newbie. This is my first call.
Well, hello. What's up?
So I need some help. Like I said, I'm an April newbie. Mm-hmm. I've been doing really well with the program. Mm-hmm. But I need some help because I am a really messy person. And it doesn't bother me personally, but it really bothers my husband.
Okay.
And because I love him and mm-hmm. I want to be an excellent wife to him, mm-hmm. That is something that I would like to improve in myself to improve our relationship.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what I need some help with.
All right. So, that we just think about this in terms of weight loss, right? Let's say mm-hmm. that you overeat all the time. What's one thing you would improve? So what's one thing you would improve about being messy? What's one thing you can do? You know, we take these things in baby steps. We're not expecting that Kristen tomorrow is going to have a clean house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's one thing you can do tomorrow?
Clear off the counters before I go to bed.
Clear off the kitchen counters?
The kitchen counters. Yeah.
Okay. Is that a big job or is that a little job?
That's a little job.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can commit to doing that. Can you do that for 7 days?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you build a new habit. You take little baby steps toward building mm-hmm. the habit. There's a book written by James Clear called Atomic Habits.
Okay. Yeah.
That a bunch of us in a tribe read. He talks about an ice cube and about how if you freeze an ice cube to like 29 degrees and then you heat it to 30, nothing happens. You heat it to 31, nothing happens.
Right.
You heat it to 32, you start to see a little bit of a change. Heat it mm-hmm. to 33, you start to see more of a change. It's little bitty incremental things that add up that create a new habit. Okay?
Yeah.
So you clear off the counters every day for 7 days. You feel really good about the fact that you can do that each day.
Yeah.
You add that next thing. So what would the next thing be?
Oh man. I think that, so what I really struggle with is more just like clutter, not necessarily like our house is clean. It's just cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would just need to pick another area that tends to collect clutter. Like,
well, could it be something as simple as hanging up your clothes or yeah. putting your shoes away or, you know, I don't know, clearing off the bathroom counter, what something right. like that. I would yeah. pick something small and get used to doing that.
Okay.
And then, you know, layer something else in and get used to doing that. I can tell you, my husband, I'm not really messy.
Yeah.
But he's almost OCD. Everything has its place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know when he sets something down, that's going to be its place forever. If he right. sees my purse in another room, he's asking me, why is your purse in there?
Yeah.
The answer is because that's where I left it. I don't know. I just left right. it there.
Yeah.
So I try to make sure my purse is in the same place every day because I right. know for like you that's what, you know, he's used to.
Yeah.
And I can make that effort for him and it's just a small thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
just pick something small. And make okay. those changes and get used to them and be okay with them and then add something else in. That's what I would do. Just layer it up like that.
Do we have time for one more question?
Sure.
Okay. So the other part of this mm-hmm. is that when my husband asks me to clean up things that he sees mm-hmm. around that bother mm-hmm. him, I get really defensive about it. And so my first like sort of gut response is to just get like really pissed off and annoyed and angry at him for calling me out on being messy, which it's like, it's not a secret to me that I'm messy. I know that that's something that I struggle with. Mm-hmm. So I also feel like I need some help reframing my thoughts when he makes those requests of me.
So why do you get mad?
I think I feel like he is accusing me of not doing enough when
okay.
I do a lot.
Is that the truth?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
So that's what you tell yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you say your thought is, he thinks I'm not doing enough, then you just say, that's just a thought, I think, because he knows I do enough. Yeah. He's just asking me to be a little bit less messy. Yeah. I think for you, I would stop saying I'm a messy person.
Okay.
Okay. I think I would start saying I'm learning how to, you know, clean up a little bit. I'm learning how to be less messy. I'm learning, you know, I think I would just say I'm figuring out how to, you know, level up. Or something like that. I think it would stop. I mean, because the first thing you said to me was, I'm a really messy person.
Right.
You identify as messy. It's just like saying, I'm really fat. Is that something you want to tell yourself every day? No.
No. Yeah.
Especially if it's something that you want to work on.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's really helpful. Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Okay. Let's do a little Q&A. And then we'll get out of here. All right. Can you help me find better thoughts to counteract when I tell myself I deserve it? It looks so good. I want it. Thoughts like that went around a lot of food and everyone is eating, but it's not on my plan. Also, once you have these better thoughts, how do you remind yourself to say them? It all happens so fast. Okay. So when you look at the food and you say, I deserve it, you answer yourself by saying, I deserve to have a thin body. I don't deserve food. I'm not a dog. I didn't earn it. I deserve to have a thin body. So I would cue in on this word deserve. And when you hear yourself say it, remember to tell yourself, no, I don't deserve food. I deserve to eat like a thin person. And then how do you remind yourself to say them? You just practice. When you know, Stacy, that you're going into a situation where there's going to be a lot of food around, pre-plan how you're going to show up. Visualize. Talk to yourself. When I walk in and I see the food, I know I'm going to say, I deserve this. Instead, I'm going to think, I deserve to have one plate because that's all I planned. I deserve to follow my plan. I deserve a thin body. So practice ahead of time and rehearse, basically. Visualize. Next, I'm struggling with getting consistent sleep nightly. I have always been a poor sleeper. I started taking Advil PM and get 7 hours of sleep with 2 or 3 bathroom calls without staying awake each time. However, it works only for a short period of time. During a previous podcast, you mentioned Dot Parsley Sleep Aid. I found it online for $59 for 30 capsules. It's actually for 30 servings, but that's what it is. I think it's 3 capsules per night. You can take 2 or 3. I take 3. So it's 30 nights worth. Do you take this and does it really work without being overly groggy in the morning? And do you take it daily? Yes, I take it daily. I do not get groggy. I sleep well. I know it's not cheap, but it's worth it to me. So that's my thoughts about Doc Parsley's. Marley wants to know, what do I do when thoughts of me wanting to eat come up? I know Corinne says they're normal and not to be upset. What should I be thinking instead? What can I tell those thoughts and urges? You can say, thank you for your suggestion. I'm not hungry right now. I'm choosing today to eat on plan. I'm choosing today to say no. You can answer it any way that you want to. I'm choosing to wait 10 minutes and see if I still want to reevaluate. Anything like that is what I would say. Liz says, how do I make sure my video feature is working? I guess you mean on the call? I'm not sure. I don't think we talked. But when I call you up, we'll know if your video is working. Tanya, newbie here. Can you explain the difference between model and TDL? Sure. I think this is in one of the modules the new people have not gotten into yet, but basically a TDL is a thought download, which is a journal entry. You sit down and you just write anything comes into your head. Write. It's all going to be a collection of sentences, and a thought is just a sentence in your mind. So that's what a thought download is. It's just a big old Dear Diary journal entry. The model is kind of a diagram of how you think about a particular circumstance in your life and how that thought creates a feeling, how those feelings drive your actions, and how those actions create results. The thought download and model modules are in module 4, I believe, which is fat girl thinking, and you will get to those. That's a really super brief description, but I think if you wait till next week, you'll get a little bit more information on that. Cindy, I'm following No Sugar, No Flour protocol for health reasons. I'm feeling a bit conflicted about how to handle exception foods and meals. I value finding joy as the process of weight loss and concerned if I don't include exception foods, it'll boomerang. I binge from feeling deprived. Not sure about sugar and flour being used for exception meals. Any thoughts about how to plan exceptions and honor my body's need? You can plan exception meals that are not sugar and flour, or yeah, that are no sugar, no flour, like French fries, for instance, or something that's off protocol for you. French fries comes to mind. Nachos might be a good exception meal on no sugar, no flour. I really think you need to plan something because you want to get used to planning exceptions and having them in your life, because you're not going to go no exception for the rest of your life. So find something small to plan, enjoy it, see how you react, think about it, journal about it, and see how you do. Does Doc Parsley sleep remedy make you groggy? It does not make me groggy. I am sometimes on call and need to be able to wake up. Now, I don't know about that. You just have to try. Maybe if you buy some, maybe try 2 caplets and see if that helps. But it doesn't, I don't think it has a drugging groggy effect for me, because there's some nights I still wake up even though I take it, but most of the time I feel pretty good. So, Melissa wants to know if a hunger signal can be actually thinking about food. No, hunger signals are physical signals. It's a tummy growl or, for me, I feel like I can take a really deep breath when I'm hungry because obviously there's nothing in my stomach, right? My throat feels nice and open. My mouth might water. So hunger signals are all physical. They're not thoughts. They're not emotions. So that answer is a big no. Kat, I'm an April baby and have been meal planning, water, and sleeping. I have a work schedule of 3 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. So when I get up, I try to journal and do the 24-hour plan while I'm drinking my bulletproof coffee concoction. But can you do a 24-hour plan on a Sunday for the week if I'm pressed for time? Sure. I actually do a weekly plan, and then I also do a 24-hour plan. But let's talk about pressed for time. Let's think about this for a minute. A plan only takes a couple of minutes. You have to be super pressed for time not to be able to take a couple of minutes. So I want you to think about, make sure you're not giving yourself an excuse not to make a plan. But I can tell you my weekly plans, you know, that's how I create my grocery list that way. I put it on the refrigerator. The husband always knows what we're having for dinner and all that. My 24-hour plan basically comes right off my weekly plan. Yeah, I'm just really good at planning. Hope that answers your question. All right, everybody. That is it for tonight. I will see you all next time. Take care. Bye-bye.